Stay tuned for Bob Enyart Live. But first, hi, I'm Pastor Bob Enyart with our Denver Bible Church update. This Sunday is, well, it's our Christmas service. And I'm cordially inviting you to come on out to Denver Bible Church. I'll give you an idea of what we're going to talk about. Now, on Christmas and Easter, people go to church that don't always go to church. We call them C&E Christians, Christmas and Easter. And so we have an opportunity to reach out to some people who are not really believers. And so let me give you an idea of what we will talk about at Denver Bible Church. Of course, we'll tell the story in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2 about Jesus, the baby born in the manger. But then we're going to make it a bit more apologetic. That is, we're going to use it as a witnessing tool and give evidence for why we know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and our Savior. Because in his birth alone, he filled so many significant prophecies. Back in the book of Isaiah, the Jewish prophet Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14, we're told that a virgin would conceive and give birth to a son, and his name would be Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And today, people don't like the fact that Christianity, hundreds of years later, became the most significant religion in the world. And our story is that Christ came of a virgin birth. And so people don't like the fact that in the Old Testament, we could point to a prophecy in Isaiah that said, a virgin shall conceive. And so they say, well, that's not virgin, that word there. That's a young maiden. But it is the word for virgin. That's how it was translated hundreds of years before Christ's birth in the Septuagint. And it wouldn't be a sign if a young maiden gave birth. That happens all the time. And then also in the prophet Micah chapter 5, we're told that the Eternal One would be born in Bethlehem. In Bethlehem, that little village just 5 miles south of Jerusalem. And then in Psalm 87, a fascinating passage that really made no sense until the Lord was born. In Psalm 87, written, 1,000 years before Christ, it's talking about the Messiah and saying, this one was born there. This one was born there. Well, who was born there? It's Psalm 87, verse 4, says, this one was born there. And then of Zion, that's where David established the hill in Jerusalem. Of Zion, it will be said, this one and that one were born in her. And David, that was the city of David, where David was born. And then Christ was born there also. And Christ is the son of David, he's called. He sits on David's throne. And then Psalm 87 says, the Lord will record when he registers the peoples, this one was born there. What does that mean when he registers the peoples? What does that mean? It's a prophecy about when the Messiah would be born. And it says, when he registers the peoples, this one will be born there. Well, 1,000 years later, the Roman emperor, Caesar Augustus, declared that all the world should be registered and everyone had to go to their own city for a census. And that was in fulfillment of what God had prophesied in Psalm 87, 1,000 years earlier, that the Messiah would be born in the city of David at the time when it was declared that the peoples shall be registered. And so the history of the Roman Empire telling us that the Romans conducted a census every 14 years. And isn't it neat that the decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered? Wow. So come on out to Denver Bible Church. Bring an unbeliever if you know one. And we'll have a lot of fun. Call us for directions or check us out at the web, denverbiblechurch.org. Now, stay tuned for Bob Enyart Live. Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, America's most popular, self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number is 1-800-8-INYART, 1-800-836-9278. Planned Parenthood made a killing last year. They made $36 million by killing unborn children. That's according to James Dobson's website, an article out today, article out yesterday. And then Madeleine Albright, former Secretary of State, Madeleine Halfbright, apparently said that that maybe Bush had already captured Osama bin Laden and was just holding him back to use him in the campaign. That's Madeleine Halfbright. But at any rate, so much for Madeleine. And the Democrats are obviously self-destructing with their conspiracy theories. You know what? We've talked a lot in the past week about everything that's crazy all over the country. Things are falling apart, immorality. And probably the one state left that still has some moral fiber to it is Montana, right? Montana, Big Sky Montana, beautiful state. I don't think they probably don't even have homosexuals in that state. I don't know. But the capital of the state is Helena. And I'd actually like to find out, because there's so much depressing news in the world, I'd like to find out from somebody in Montana who knows what's going on, if that's really a godly state. If I could, I would probably ask the executive director of Montana Family Coalition. Who is that woman? Oh, Judy Mullen? Judy, are you here?
I'm here, Bob.
What a pleasure to talk to you.
It's a pleasure to talk to you, too.
Thank you. Now, Judy, is it true that Montana is the most righteous state in the Union?
Oh, my gosh.
Maybe not. Maybe not.
If you only knew, Bob.
Do you mean the spiritual, Julie? Do you mean the, Julie, I'm sorry. Julie, do you mean the spiritual battle is fierce everywhere?
You know, it is. You'd like to think of Montana as, you know, they call it the best last place here. And, you know, of course it is beautiful. But unfortunately, all the liberals like to come here because they're all environmental wackos. And so they're up here and they, you know, kill the babies and save the
whales. Do you guys have any whales in Montana?
Huh? No, we got the spotted owls.
Oh, spotted owls.
Yeah.
You know, they used to, before you did new construction by federal regulation, you had to do a survey to see if there were any spotted owls on your property.
Yeah.
And they found so many spotted owls, they canceled that regulation.
Yeah, you know, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, and besides
that. It is, isn't it?
Yeah, spotted owl tastes like chicken, so it's no big deal anyway.
Yeah.
Hey, Julie. All right. So I'd like, Julie. In Montana, your group, Montana Family Coalition, it's my recollection that you guys are about the largest conservative Christian activist group in the state. Is that?
That would be right.
Is that right? How many?
That's right. And I'm the lobbyist up at the legislature, and we deal with all the family issues from basically, you know, because we have a right to life here. They deal a lot with the abortion stuff, but we also deal with that, but we take the lead on the homosexual issues here.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
So we're the
homophobic bigots from Montana.
That's what you guys are called.
Oh yeah.
Homophobic bigots.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you love your neighbor and you want to warn them, don't destroy yourself.
That's right.
Don't destroy yourself with drugs, crack cocaine, don't be an alcoholic. Don't get addicted to pornography.
Right.
Don't cheat on your wife. Don't
right.
be
you know, all that stuff that's just so, you know, we're just so radical.
Right. And so if you say don't destroy yourself through homosexual behavior, it's so destructive. Mm-hmm. If you do that, then you're a bigot.
Right.
Right.
Right. So I guess I'm a self-proclaimed bigot.
Okay. Yeah, right, right. So, well, what's happening in Montana? Give us a rundown on the abortion battle, the battle over homosexuality. What's happening in your state?
Well, you know, we've worked in the legislature since 1990 to hold back the homosexual agenda. And we've been successful, but, of course, what's happening here is probably the same thing that's happening everywhere. We had a governor, Governor Mark Roscoe, which I'm sure your viewers are probably familiar with him. He was the governor before the governor we have now, which is Governor Judy Martz. And what happened was, after we had passed all these, or held back the homosexual agenda, he, in one day, decided that he was going to change the administrative rules and put homosexuality as a kind of a protected...
protected class status.
Protected class. He was going to write that into the arm. So what happened was, you know, in one swipe of the pen, you know, that kind of opened the door, kicked the door open for the homosexuals. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting how he did it because, you know, we never even got the notice that they were going to have the hearing or anything. So, and we went back, and of course I did my little detective work that I love to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, went through all the records, and the only people that were invited or knew about it were all the homosexual, pro-homosexual people. So what that did was kind of, you know, kind of open the door. And then what you see that's going on now is all over the state, you know, you'll see like that right now that the city of Missoula, which we call People's Public or Missoula because they're probably typically the, you know, the most liberal
right
city in Montana. They just, the city or the county, it's either the city or the county just allowed the homosexual domestic partnership deal. So
mm-hmm.
Friends of mine are filing a lawsuit there. And, you know, what you're seeing to me is just, you know, the activism that's going on. You know, the legislature has spoken strong to holding back the homosexual agenda, but yet, you know, the Communist Lawyers Union, the ACLU, goes around
yeah.
and, you know, through the activist courts, seem to be getting their way, and you know, we're just trying to stay ahead of the battle here. You know, we're really hoping that the president will have the, you know, the marriage amendment.
Now, it wasn't until just yesterday that President Bush has said that he may support a constitutional amendment defending marriage as a union between one man and one woman.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of confusion. We're, you know, Montana is one of the states, praise the Lord, that we have DOMA in place here, which is the Defense of Marriage Act. But truthfully, I don't know how they're getting around that, but I guess they are.
Hmm.
And so, you know, that is in place here. So I guess we'll just have to see. I mean, I just can't understand these activist courts. And, you know, we're really reevaluating our mission because, you know, our battle, and you know this, Bob, because you've talked about it for years, is these courts, these out-of-control courts,
mm-hmm.
you know, usurping the role of the legislature.
Mm.
You know, our founding fathers never, ever meant for this to happen. And so now, you know, we try to go, you know, to the legislature and do things the right way as the founders intended, only to be usurped by these courts. And so, I don't know what the answer is.
Julie, could you imagine... If you go back some generations and you told, say, our founding fathers or maybe even your great-grandfather
mm-hmm.
that there would come a day when there would be a battle over what a marriage is?
I know, yeah.
Marriage?
What are those who call good evil and evil good, you know?
Yeah, marriage, world, where a man and a woman gets married, there's a battle over that?
Yeah, you know, the one thing I'm seeing, though, Bob, you know, you get out of it, like Helena tends to be a real political bastion here
mm-hmm.
because, you know, of course, it's the state capital. But, you know, you get out and talk to the folks out in rural Montana, and they all know, you know, they all do not support gay homosexuals. We should quit calling them gay. I got to quit doing that. They're homosexuals because it's not gay. But, you know, they don't support that. And so you got these, you know, fringe people, you know, running our country
mm.
that are totally off the wall. I mean, I love Michael Savage. You know, he says it the best. You know,
mm-hmm.
the ACLU, you know, they're stealing Christmas. They're attacking our fundamental values. And, you know, they're just the fringe, you know, percent of people. And we need to stand up and do something about it.
Mm. Well, there, you know, the American Psychiatric Association, the Psychological Association of America, they, back in the 80s, they would have their conventions, and homosexual activists would literally storm their conventions, take over the stage, and demand equal rights.
Mm-hmm.
And so they voted, they would vote, and whereas homosexuality was considered a destructive behavior, then they voted to say homosexuality is normal and healthy.
I know, you know, it's, you know, where are the men? You know, that's what I keep wondering. You know, what is everybody afraid of? You know, I'm afraid of, you know, not obeying God. You know, I'm getting really tired of these people that are so afraid. You know, they don't want to say anything because they're afraid. Well, I mean, don't they fear God? I'm more afraid of not doing the right thing.
Well, and, you know, the people I know in my life who are or have been homosexuals, I've had enough of a love for them to say, look, you are destroying yourself.
Oh, absolutely.
You might be lying to yourself and thinking you're having fun, you're enjoying it, but you're destroying yourself and you're moving further and further away from God.
Well, you know, it's really sad. I have some friends up here that come up here and testify with us on the homosexual issues, and they're, you know, have come out of homosexuality. And they're really sweet. I mean, they're just, you know, when God does that work in a person, I mean, which only God can do. I mean, it's just amazing, you know, and they just are different people. And but the homosexuals come after them so bad, so hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just attack them. They just, you know, verbally abuse them. And, you know, I've had this last time, they just were too afraid to come up here because it's just the most amazing thing. You know, they just do not want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear that they can change.
Yeah, we've had opportunities here at Bob and Yurt Live. The homosexual community in Denver has really hated this show with a passion.
Oh, I'm sure.
Channel 12, a public TV station here, has the very first homosexual weekly TV show in the nation was the Lambda Report, which is still running here on Channel 12. Mm-hmm. And when we went off the air for a week back, maybe 6-7 years ago. And they went on the air with champagne. They popped champagne corks celebrate Bob and Yurt Live went off the air.
Right.
And so that Monday, we came back on TV with a black screen and said, just when the homosexuals thought it was safe to turn on the TV, we're back. But anyway, I tell that story just to show Bob and Yurt Live is hated by the homosexual community. But one of the founders of that Lambda Report was dying of AIDS, and the executive director of the Lambda Report called me to tell me and asked me to pray for that guy, John Hackney. And I asked if I could go see him, and I was told by the woman who's really a guy who was the executive director, I was told by her, he, it, I don't know, whatever I call it, that that it wouldn't help because he couldn't even communicate. He couldn't respond.
I know, isn't that sad? You know, it is. It's totally sad.
Yeah, and there have been about 300,000 homosexuals who've died of AIDS in America in the last couple decades. 300,000.
Right.
And that's what comes of the liberal agenda, which says just love and respect and tolerate homosexuals,
right,
and we don't care if they die tortured deaths,
right,
as
and
long as
it.
We
I mean,
smile
the truth.
At them.
I mean, you know, AIDS is such an ugly thing, and, you know, that's where they're headed if they don't change. And, you know, they just, resist God, and, you know, and really God's holding out his hand to them saying, you know, come and suffer, you know, with us. I mean, you know, I just know how much God loves them, and, you know, we couldn't do this job without the love of Christ because, you know, I've shared with you before, Bob, I lived a terrible lifestyle before I came to know Jesus. I'm not some holy roller, holier-than-thou person up there saying, you know, repent or, you know.
Julie, I can't picture you living a terrible life, to tell you the truth.
Oh, I was awful. But, you know, I ran into the rock that's the Lord Jesus Christ, and he gave me a new heart and new flesh,
Yeah.
You know, he's changed my life, and, you know, it's just a privilege to be able to offer that to them, even though they hate you for it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I've been changed by it, and they can't deny that. And all my friends who came out of homosexuality have been changed, And, you know, they go on to live normal, healthy lives and have children. And
right.
It's just such a blessing. You know, Dr. James Dobson has done this great work, you know, the Love One Out series.
Mm.
And we got to pass those books out up at the legislature and give them to people to read. And, you know, it's just such a miracle that these books are written by ex-lesbians and homosexuals. And they talk about, you know, the hook, and the hook was pornography for a lot of them. The hook was molestation.
Right. For men, typically, yeah. Men get inducted into the homosexual community by older men when they're young boys
right.
or young teenagers, and they're molested.
Right.
And that's what introduces them into the homosexual community. And, you know, people in the media will deny that, but the homosexuals themselves, when they write in their own magazines—
Right.
They will often advocate pedophilia, that we should legalize sex with children. And I'm thinking of one letter that was a letter to the editor in San Francisco that said, look, if it wasn't for so-called child molestation, many of us would not have been introduced to the homosexual community.
Yeah, it's just community. Like Romans talks about. It's the depravity of man. You know, their minds get so depraved that all of a sudden— – You know, up is down and down is up. You know, and then to have people like the ACLU defending NAMBLA pro bono. You know, I mean.
Well, now wait, Julie, you're a full-time Christian activist.
Yeah.
You know what NAMBLA is.
Yeah, the North America Men Boy Love Association.
Yeah. Well, there are people in the audience who don't know what are they? Who are they? What do they stand for?
Well, they're just a group of sick individuals that. Their motto is sex by eight or it's too late. And they have a website you can go to. I mean, I really actually went there to check it out because I couldn't believe what I was hearing when I first got this job. And you have to go on, I think, Overture or Google to get there. But it shows there's testimonies of young boys who have sex with these older men. And they advocate for that man-boy love. And the ACLU defends them pro bono.
In other words, they're a group of male homosexual adults who advocate sex with young boys.
Young boys.
And their slogan is sex
by eight or it's too late.
Or
and
it's
you go on their
late.
Website and the little boys give testimony about how great this is.
Right.
It's the most sick and twisted thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah,
and
the public
so sad.
And the public libraries let the NAMBLA groups use their library facilities to have meetings to promote their child molestation policies.
Right. I mean, it's almost like surreal. I mean, it's almost like you can't even believe this is going on, but it is. It's going on, and people are so clueless. And but that's not it. There's more like that. What is the name of it? Oh, I can't remember. It's some kind of weird thing, but there's whole bunches of these kind of organizations out there. And they kind of go under, like, alias names that, you know, sound kind of innocuous, but really are that. And I can't remember what the name of the other ones are, but it's just so unbelievably sick. You can't even believe it.
Yeah. And so this lifestyle that's destroyed, you know, around the world, millions.
Right. Right. Because they work to, Bob, what they do is they work to lower the ages of consent.
Right.
And I went through, I just had this on my desk about a month ago, the age of consent of all these different countries, and I think there's some of them that are like 12 and 13.
And in, like, Northern Europe?
Yeah.
Yeah, and typically, or at times, it's younger if it's homosexual sex.
That's it. Because, you know, I couldn't believe on here was man-to-man sex and regular, you know. And I was like, are you kidding me? I mean, this really goes on.
Right. They legalize it for homosexuals to have sex with young boys. It's a movement, and in this country, it's happening too.
Oh, yeah, and right. I think the Netherlands are actually the most liberal with the sex stuff.
Yeah, the most wicked.
Yeah,
right.
And I just couldn't believe what I was reading, but actually that's what these kind of organizations work to, is to lower the age of consent, which is so sick. And, you know, of course, nobody ever talks about it. So, you know, and Satan does everything in the dark, so... The Bible says to expose evil, and that's what we need to do.
Yeah, you know, Boulder, Colorado is right up the street from us here.
Yeah, that's where I used to live in Longmont.
Oh,
remember that?
We call it the People's Republic of Boulder here.
Yeah, yeah.
You got Missoula.
It was that way when I lived there in 81.
Well, you know, I think every year they symbolically give the key to the city to Allen Ginsberg.
Oh my gosh.
He's a famous homosexual poet who publicly advocated pedophilia.
Right, right.
He died.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, it's so unbelievable. But you know, it's funny how many people are just ignorant to this kind of thing going on around them.
Right. Well, in New York City, there's a homosexual high school.
Right. And paid for by our tax dollars, by the way.
The head of this, it's called the Harvey Milk High School.
Right.
And the head of the school, Damian Martin, was quoted in a homosexual magazine called Out. Now, mm-hmm. Out, it was one of the main homosexual magazines in the last decade. Mm-hmm. I guess it's still published. Mm-hmm. He was quoted saying that no kid has ever been hurt by oral sex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he's got his tie on too tight.
Yeah, right. And he's the head of a homosexual high school.
You're right.
Defending performing oral sex on teenage boys.
Right. Paid for by our tax dollars.
Right.
Go figure.
Right.
So, you know, where's the outrage? That's what I say. Where is the outrage?
Yeah. Oh, and you know that other homosexual magazine called The Advocate? Have you heard of that one?
Yeah, I get my name in there occasionally.
Yeah.
Right alongside yours, no doubt.
Yeah, and I hope they don't have your address.
Ugh.
Hey.
Oh, well, the Lord will protect you.
Julie, and again, let's just let people know, it's the Montana Family Coalition, right?
Right.
And Julie Millam.
Right.
M-I-L-L-A-M. M-I-L-L-A-M.
Yeah.
And how about this quote here, Julie, from The Advocate, the homosexual magazine. This is written by Carl Maves.
Uh-huh.
And it's an article titled Getting Over It. And he wrote, how many gay men, I wonder, would have missed out on a valuable, liberating experience, one that initiated them into their sexuality, if it were not for so-called molestation?
Uh-huh.
So he's advocating.
Isn't that lovely?
Yeah, he's advocating sex with kids so that the kids don't miss out on this wonderful experience.
Yeah.
And these
God sent them a strong delusion, a real strong delusion. And, you know, it's sucking them right to hell. And that's what's so sad is that they're just given over to it.
Mm.
I mean, and everything that comes out of their mouth is just depraved.
Mm.
And, you know, but isn't that wonderful? We should just, you know, to go along with it and tolerate it and, you know, teach it to our children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even here in Montana, that stuff gets into the school systems. I mean, you know, God help us all, because I homeschooled my children, and I just hope that everybody out there is thinking about the same thing, because I know how hard it is. We're working to keep that out of the school system, and I can't even imagine what Colorado's like now.
Mm. Yeah, Colorado's bad,
mm-hmm.
no question.
Yeah,
and you know what
you can do is protect your own kids. You know, it's like, you know, don't think it's okay to send your kids there. I truly would not send my child to a public school these days, knowing what I know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Julie, you might remember this story. A caller called into the show, Terry Johnston from Knoxville, Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
and he called in, and he started out basic. We've sold hundreds of copies of the video of his call, and he started out saying, basically, Bob, I hate you.
Yeah, I think I remember that one.
And, well, okay, why? Because he's a homosexual.
Yeah.
And, you know, I condemn homosexuals.
Mm-hmm.
And so I figured I might have just a few minutes with this guy. He's going to hang up. And if he dies, he's going to go to hell.
Right.
So I want to get him saved.
Right.
So I am as harsh with him as I can be,
mm-hmm.
telling him how despicable he is.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thrilled he didn't hang up.
Mm-hmm.
And about 10 minutes into the show, I said something along the lines of, Terry, the men who have been with you, they didn't love you. They used you.
That's right.
And he started to break down.
Yeah.
And it turns out he had advanced AIDS.
Oh, my God.
He got saved.
Isn't that bad?
He got saved. He was on his way to Denver, Colorado. Could you hold on, Julie?
Sure.
We'll be right back. Howdy to those of you listening on the internet at kgov.com. Welcome. Hey, today I got a call from a friend who gave the debate, Does God Exist? Bob Enyart versus Zaketh. Gave that debate, 170-page debate, to another friend of his who's been learning more and more about God, and the friend read in one day all 170 pages and then went to get two more copies to give to his friends. And we're really excited with results like that, when we could put out materials to show people that God does exist. It is so fulfilling when it works. Hey, this is Bob Enyart. Welcome to those tuning in Denver. This is a live commercial break. And thanks for listening to KLTT. Talk about a blowtorch. 55,000 watts. 55,000 watts, low on the dial, 670 AM. We invite you to tell your friends about the show, Bob Enyart Live, or your enemies for that matter. We'll take come one, come all, friends or enemies. We'll take you, and you could feel free to call in. And this Sunday, hey, Christmas is coming up next week. So this Sunday is your chance to go to church for Christmas. And at Denver Bible Church, we're going to be talking about Christ's birth in the manger. The one, you know, Jesus Christ is the one person in history that almost all the world remembers how he was born and how he died. Who else do we remember? George Washington? Do we remember when, where, how he was born, how he died? Who? Caesar? Which Caesar? Muhammad? Who? Jesus Christ, because of his birth and life and death means everything. And so at Denver Bible Church this Sunday, we will be celebrating Christ's birth. We invite you to come on out and bring any unbelievers you could get your hands on, and we'll work on them. We're back. Bob Enyart Live, 1-800-8-ENYART. 1-800-836-9278. I wanted to let Julie know we have Julie Millam, Executive Director of the Montana Family Coalition. Hey Julie, this Terry Johnston, who called into the show, he admitted that he was used and then also that he used these other men and he was had advanced AIDS. A very low T count. All his friends were homosexual, especially at his church. Everybody at his church was homosexual. And Cheryl and I and a couple of friends sent him money to move to Denver so he could go to our church, which had no homosexuals in it. And he was on his way here, and he died tragically, and he got off the bus. He was taking a bus here. He got off in Kansas City. And the clinic director called the station we were on in Denver, Channel 53, and said, thank you, because this show on your station reached out to me in love. And Terry's last words, was his last wish, was that the director would call and thank us for loving him enough to tell the truth.
Oh, wow.
And he got saved.
He got saved?
Yeah.
Oh, praise God. I was just going to be real. I couldn't imagine him dying before getting saved, but praise God.
Yeah, Terry Johnston asked the Lord to forgive him of his sin.
Praise God.
And he became a Christian.
That's awesome,
yeah.
Isn't it?
But it's tough love. You know, it's tough love.
It absolutely is. It absolutely is. You know, it's God's love that brings us to repentance, the Word says. But we have to, you know, it's like they want to take the laws away. They want to make everything okay. And the law was our tutor that brought us to Christ. We need to hear, you know, the law.
What do you mean the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ? Explain that.
Well, you know, how was I supposed to know what sin was unless there was a law that showed me, you know, that, you know, it's like God's so righteous and holy, and his law is, you know, we can't obtain it. We can't keep it. I mean, I knew I was going to hell when I was 8.
So back when sex outside of marriage was against the law.
Yeah.
And when homosexuality was against the law, and abortion was against the law, people growing up in this country in school, they knew that something
was wrong.
Yeah, it was wrong and it was sinful. And even if they wanted to do something like that, they were ashamed.
That's right. And, you know, the Bible says in the end times, lawlessness will abound. Well, hello, that's where we're at. Nothing's wrong because there's no laws. Mm-hmm. And they want to take down all of our laws. abortion, this is okay, killing, murder is okay. I mean, come on, you know. The only ones the liberals seem to have a problem with, thou shalt not steal. They like that one.
Oh, not really.
Well, when it comes to them, I mean.
Don't take their money, but they're for high taxes. Right?
Yeah, well, exactly. But I love that story you tell about, because I just did this with my daughter. She was going around with a college professor. She goes to a so-called Christian college, and she's really getting persecuted for her faith. And, you know, this one professor she had says, well, I don't have any morals. Nothing's right or wrong. And I told her to say what you told us years ago. You said, well, tell him that you want his computer and you're going to take his computer home.
Yeah.
And she'd say, and he'd say, well, you can't do that. Well, why not?
Right.
Because stealing's wrong. Well, I thought you said you didn't have any morals.
Right.
And my morals, you know, whatever goes, you know, this is right by me. I mean,
yeah.
They seem to understand that one.
And I like to say, well, I'd like to give you a demonstration. Do you have a $20 bill on you?
Yeah.
You know, they take a $20 bill and you take it and you put it in your pocket.
Yeah, that's it.
And then just walk away. That's the demonstration.
I know, it shows them how ludicrous their argument is.
There's no right or wrong. There's no private
property. That's right. And so that's why we have to say homosexuality is wrong and it's sinful. Same with abortion. Otherwise, you know, and that's what God says. So how do we know it's? I knew abortion was wrong, but when I was a heathen, come on.
Well, Julie, as far as thou shalt not steal, you know, socialism where the government takes our money. Where the government takes our money and gives it to our neighbors.
That's right.
Right? That's socialism.
That's right.
That's stealing.
It absolutely is stealing. I mean, I keep telling everybody, you know, if you cash your paycheck and they took your taxes out, you know, cash, if you had cash in your hand,
that would
people
be better.
Would revolt.
That would be better, wouldn't it?
Yeah. People are so dumbed down to the whole process that's going on now.
Right. Well, now, you being a conservative Christian leader in Montana— I'm sure you were thrilled with George Bush adding a $500 billion new socialist program to the federal government with the Medicaid.
Isn't that wonderful?
Did you like that?
Oh, I loved it, yeah. You know, we have to get over this government can be all things to all people. You know, I mean, where is it going to end? I mean, you know, again, it gets back down to the breakdown of the family. You know, before, you know, we would take care of our elderly and not rely on a government to do so.
The first liberal I've ever read about in history, I read it in a book, a historian named Josephus.
Yeah.
You remember Josephus from 2,000 years ago?
I do. I have his work.
Yeah. He wrote about a king who started an empire. This king's name was Nimrod. And Nimrod started the Babylonian Empire.
Right.
And Josephus, 2,000 years ago, wrote that Nimrod tried to provide for the needs of the people in his empire so that they would rely on the government and not rely upon God.
That's absolutely, you know, Satan's way, isn't it?
Isn't that something from
you know, everybody's crying. You know, these people that, you know, I can't get a job. Well, you know what, Bob? I've never been without a job for more than a day.
Good for you.
You know, it's like, you know, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, mentally ill people that can't, or mentally handicapped or whatever.
Yeah, right. But if you can work.
Yeah, I mean, I love your thing you do with the bums on the street. Stop them and, you know, he's lying sign or whatever.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
protest the homeless guy.
Oh, yeah. It's the ideal in the legislature where they're, you know, they're up there trying, you know, the liberals are up there trying to, you know, fund everything. And it's
right.
Like, it's like it's so broken. I don't even know how it's going to get fixed.
Now, Julie Milam from the Montana Family Coalition. Julie, normally, you know, we've been doing more guests lately. Usually we do one guest every 3 or 4 months. Mm-hmm. But so... we've got this confounded phone system here called Gentner, and we got a caller who would like to get in on this.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to risk it and try to conference you in.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
If I lose you, please, we'll call you back or let's reconnect here. Okay. Hold, let me see if this works. Now, in Denver, John Libby, speak your mind.
Hey, buddy.
John, how are you?
How you doing?
Now, I got to let the audience know, and my guest, Julie Milam, that John is an engineer, a technician going back many years, and we used to work together for years in Denver. John, good to hear
you. Yeah, we used to used to be when Bob Inyart was on Channel 53.
Right.
I was his director, television director.
Yep.
And we blanketed the United States and almost all of Canada.
That's right.
And I'll never forget it. I remember your signal was broadcasted worldwide on the shortwave radio.
Right.
And we saved a lot of people.
Yeah.
And we made a lot of people mad, but we had a good time.
Yeah, we made a lot of enemies and a lot of friends. And then we ended up going on satellite.
Yep.
And initially, we were on, I think, in 12 cities.
Right,
and then, and then a second Christian network picked us up, Cornerstone out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Yep.
Added that to
the started in the pasture and ended up in the world.
That's right. And then the America's Voice Network picked up the show, and we were on from Honolulu to Orlando.
Yeah, sure. That's right.
Yeah,
that was incredible.
Yeah, it was.
Incredible.
Well, John.
And I just wanted to let you know, Bob, I don't want to interrupt with your what you're talking. It's very interesting. I've been listening for it. Listening about it for the whole hour here, but I just wanted to tell you and your wife Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And we're still me and Dave Shockey still listen to your show.
All right.
And so hang in there and what was it? Do right or suffer the consequences.
Do right and risk the consequences. And
that's right.
Give Dave my best. God bless you guys.
Okay. God bless you too, sir.
Thank you. Isn't that neat? From years ago. 8 years ago? Uh-oh. Julie was there the whole time. And she's gone. Julie, sorry. Sorry, Julie. All right, let's reconnect with Julie Millam, who's with the Montana Family Coalition. And you could look them up on the web. The easiest way is go to Google. Everybody Googles everything, right? If you got to find something on the web, you just go to Google. It's easier than anything else. And today, Google had the Wright brothers plane in their logo because today is the 100th anniversary of the first flight. So you go to Google and you can see the Wright brothers plane in their Google logo. All right. Let's see here. 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. So on Fox News, they're talking about, you know, they put together three Democrats who have talked about capturing Saddam Hussein and capturing Osama bin Laden as though the Bush administration had these guys in advance and they're just holding them to announce the captures when it's politically convenient, like during a campaign. So at any rate, and Julie, I hung up on you.
That's okay.
I apologize. Welcome back.
Oh, thanks.
Well, now that you're back, Julie, we need to take a break, but could you hang on and do the last segment with us?
You bet.
All right. Bob Inyart here with a live commercial break. I want to tell you about some of our best-selling titles. Well, we don't only sell the title, we sell the whole package. Like, for example, our videos, Mount Moriah, The Evidence for the Resurrection, and God and the Death Penalty, New Testament Support for Capital Punishment. But then we have a Bible tour of Israel. We went over to Israel during this current intifada, in fact, and had such a good time, and we recorded it on videotape, and you could come along on the tour with us, but it's a Bible tour of Israel. Have you ever heard of that? Where we go from site to site and go through the Bible and look at the evidence that confirms the story of the Bible. And then live from Las Vegas, Bob debates many conventioneers. What a good time we had there, debating, a dozen liberals at the convention center. And Get Out of the Matrix, that's when I got to take on an entire college philosophy class and their professor. That's a fun video, one of our most fascinating videos, but probably you won't pay for your kid to go to a college if you watch that video, because you'll see what college kids are really like. And if you have a normal kid, you send them to college. Good luck. Good luck. And then video fruitcake, hilarious liberal callers. What other good videos do we have? Morality, why God forbid sexual immorality. And then some of our third-party videos like Unlocking the Mysteries of Life. What a great video against evolution. We have that available on DVD and VHS. And The Real Mount Sinai, Mountain of Fire, Search for the True Mount Sinai. You will love that video. I tell you, we've got materials that are so great for convincing others to believe in Christ, to strengthening your own faith, that people, they call up, they order, they say, well, give me one of those Mount Sinai videos. And we ship it out. And a few days later, they call back or go on kgov.com, and they order two more. Why do they do that? Because these materials are good, and they teach people. So give us a call. We're back, 1-800-8-NER, 1-800-836-9278, with Julie Milam of the Montana Family Coalition. Julie, you've heard about these Democrats who are saying the Bush administration had they had Saddam Hussein and maybe even Osama, and they're releasing them, or they're announcing it to coincide with their campaign.
Well, you know what's just so unbelievable to me is that they would be willing to risk, you know, the lives of people, of these soldiers, and, you know, not even risk the lives, but just, you know, put them down just to further their own political.
In other words.
I mean, isn't that sick?
Yeah, in other words.
It's like, come
right.
on. They almost want to see Bush fail so they can be
they
president.
Do.
They don't care.
They do, right? The Democrats, what are they hoping for? Here. I'm going to pull out of the trash can. I got a trash can here. I don't know if you can hear it.
Yeah.
You can hear that?
Yeah.
I threw in the trash this article from Time Magazine with Jimmy Carter. You know, the Democratic former president who loves every mass murdering tyrant he's ever met.
And, like, who cares what he says? But anyways.
Right. And he was asked in this. Yeah, right. Who cares? But he was asked in this interview by Time Magazine, December 8th, do the Democrats have a chance against Bush? And he said, it depends on two things. One, what's happening in Iraq and the war against terror, and the other, the economy. Mm-hmm. And so what that means is the Democrats need for people to lose their jobs.
Right.
And for the terrorists to kill a lot of Americans.
Right.
That's what they need in order to beat Bush.
Yeah, and they don't care.
And
isn't that sick?
And they're
it's just pure sick.
Yeah, they're frothing at the mouth to beat Bush.
Yeah.
And to beat Bush, according to former Democratic President Jimmy Carter, mm-hmm. they need terrorists to kill a lot of Americans, especially in Iraq, and they need Americans to lose their jobs.
And yeah, just like Madeleine Albright, you know, shooting off her mouth today saying, well, you know, maybe, what did she say?
Yeah, maybe Bush already has Osama bin Laden, and they're going to announce it for the campaign.
I know, isn't that, it's so unbelievable.
Yeah,
like, he'd
so
just
stupid.
Go, yeah, I'm going to hide him, and, you know, I mean, George Bush just isn't that kind of man.
Well, it's so stupid.
Right.
It's just so stupid.
Well, yeah, like we'd, you know, just hide him in a cave and then pull him out at election time. Come on.
Right. And there are thousands of people in the intelligence community, in the military, who are searching for these guys.
Mm-hmm.
What is George
Bush? Well,
you
know, there's big thing with weapons of mass destruction. I mean, I guess they don't care that guy tortured people to death, that he, you know, killed more of his own people. I mean, it's just so amazing to me. It's like the more evil people are, the better they like them.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. Iraq, according to the New York Times, Saddam is responsible for the violent deaths of over a million people.
Oh, yeah.
Saddam Hussein, according to the New York Times, which is liberal, is responsible for the violent deaths of over a million people.
Right, and, you know, just watch and wait and see when it comes time for the death penalty. They'll go, well, maybe we should just let them live.
Oh, of course they're saying that already. But liberals, they have such apathy for the Iraqi people
mm-hmm.
They don't care if another 50,000 Iraqis were raped, tortured, and murdered. They hate George Bush so much.
Right.
And I'm not a fan of George W. Bush personally. I'm not.
Neither am I. But it's like, you know, he's done a lot of good things with the war, but
yeah,
it's such a joke to see them.
Yeah.
You know, it's goes back to the depravity of man. And I see it up in the legislature all the time because I'm right in the center of that fight. And it's just amazing to me. Like, here in Montana, we just had that Pledge of Allegiance kind of fight because one of my friends, who is a wonderful Christian man, Representative Jeff Pattison out of Glasgow, Montana, brought a House joint resolution to the Montana legislature to urge the Supreme Court, you know, to overturn the Ninth Circuit ruling, you know, saying that the Pledge of Allegiance was unconstitutional. All this was is, you know, House joint resolution. And, you know, it passed the United States Senate unanimously, but here in Montana, we had 16 legislators vote against it. I mean, 16 people voted against under God in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Right, right. And that's in Montana.
That's in Montana.
Right
now.
And
they were all Democrats. Every stinking last one of them was a Democrat.
Well, and you know, yeah, the Democrats are evil. We know
they
that.
Are. And, you know, they're voting for every homo bill we have up there.
Every what?
The homo bills, you know, every homosexual bill that's up there, every single Democrat
shorthand there, yeah,
is voting for it, and you know it's always split down party lines.
Yeah.
We always have a few Republicans that go with them. We had a gay marriage bill up here last session.
Mm-hmm. All right,
and all the Democrats went for it, or not all of them, but
yeah.
In committee, most of the Democrats went for it, and two Republicans voted for it.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
Well, we had a committee here at our Capitol in Denver, and they were debating giving special rights to homosexuals,
mm-hmm.
making them a protected class.
Right.
And my dear Christian activist friends, my dearest friends in the world,
mm-hmm.
came to me and said, Bob, we have to go to the committee hearing and testify and tell them that homosexuality is wrong.
That's right.
And I said, why should we do that? And they said, because we want the committee to vote against this bill. And I said, but if we go and say homosexuality is perversion or a sin, that'll almost guarantee the bill will pass.
Mm.
And my friend said, no, we got to do it. We got to do it. So I went, I went with them. And we testified. And the chairman of the committee is known as a conservative Christian Republican leader. And we were the only ones who testified against the bill. And what we said was, by the nature that God has created, by the Bible, we know that homosexuality is wrong. It's destructive. It destroys individuals. It undermines society. It's a perversion. It leads to other sexual perversions. And it's wrong. That's what we said. So you shouldn't do this? The chairman, conservative Christian Republican of the committee, said, after hearing this hate speech, I'm almost inclined to vote for the bill.
Well, how can he call himself a Christian?
I don't know how do I answer that, Julie?
I guess he doesn't read the Bible.
No, you know, I went to lunch with him a few days later.
Yeah.
It was, you know, it was just pitiful.
Well, but, it is. I mean, how do you call it? I mean, if, you know, the Bible says that, you know, God said, you know, he'll, if you love me, obey me.
Yeah.
So I get tired of these so-called
That's the Bible.
Christians
That's
saying
the,
that they that yeah. they, you know, they don't obey God. So quit calling, you know, it's almost like, well, don't say you're a Christian then.
By the way, that guy was from representative from Broomfield. But anyway, Julie, if
send him a Bible for Christmas.
The conservative
underline Romans 1. No, go
Julie,
ahead.
Let
sorry,
me
Bob.
Ask you a question. The conservative
okay.
Christian leaders in the country that are in politics, do they ever say that homosexuality is bad?
The ones I work with do, but I don't know about the, I've only seen, well, you know, I mean, there's just always a little remnant.
You mean like in public?
You mean, oh yeah, the ones I work with do.
They say homosexuality is bad?
Oh yeah.
Oh, see, that's up in Montana. The best we can hope for in Colorado or in national politics is like, say, President Bush will go bend over backwards to say how wonderful homosexuals are, but for cultural reasons, really marriage is traditional and it's a cornerstone of society. But he won't say that homosexuality is wrong.
No, I mean, I'm still disappointed in him today when they ask him about that constitutional amendment, and because Jessica Savage called him on the mat and said, is that her name, Jessica Savage? Jessica something, I don't know, something like that. Some
Michael Savage's
long
lost.
She's an interviewer.
A White House reporter?
Yeah, and she said, do you think homosexuality is a sin? And he said, well, everything, you know, or are they sinners, I think she said. And he said, well, I'm a sinner too. And I thought, you know, why don't we just say it?
It was a cut, right, like child molesters and terrorists, are they... Is that a sin? Are they sinners?
Right, and he's done. He's
I'm a sinner
he's
too.
He's appointed tons of homosexuals to his cabinet.
Right. Well, he appoints homosexuals to high public office.
That's what I'm. Or yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
Not his cabinet, but administration, I guess, is the right word.
Right. Exactly.
He's done. He's really dropped the ball there. But I think a lot of that too is the fact that he goes to a real liberal church.
He does.
Well, I think so.
Well, in Houston, he went to the United Methodist Church.
Well,
there
you go. I mean, United Methodist is like
that's
the
Hillary's
church, isn't it?
That's Hillary's church. Okay. Hillary is a United Methodist. So Hillary and George W. Bush go to the same church. Mm-hmm. And I called up George W. Bush's church back before when he was campaigning for president.
Mm-hmm.
And we were on the air. And I asked if... if a homosexual could be a member in good standing at their church.
Uh-huh.
And I talked to the membership director, and she said, oh, absolutely.
Sure.
So George Stubb.
I got kicked out of one of those churches.
A United Methodist church?
Yeah, I went in there with our voter guide, one of them. it was a Plymouth Congregational Church, and they kicked me out.
Oh,
Plymouth. I said, that's okay, because they kicked God out a long time ago anyway. So
right.
I guess I was in good company.
Well, the Black Ministerial Alliance in Denver met yesterday, and there was a pro-life black preacher from back east who came and spoke and encouraged them to get involved in the March for Life, January. What is it January 17th? When it's coming up here, and because Star Parker is going to speak, and you might know her name. She spoke at the Republican National Convention 4 years ago. She's a fabulous Christian young black lady, just tremendous. And she's going to be the keynote speaker. And so black ministers said, one of them said, we can't tell our congregations anything about pro-life because that would help the Republicans.
Yeah, isn't that sad?
Yeah. So
I have Christian. I go to a Baptist church, and there's so Christians in our church that say that they're Democrats. And I'm going, you don't even know what you're saying.
Mm.
I mean, I can't I'm a real black and white person, kind of like your female counterpart, I guess.
Was Diane Sawyer who asked Bush.
Diane Sawyer, that's it.
She asked Bush, is homosexuality a sin? And
he
said, well, we're all sinners.
Right. And I thought, you know, why don't you just say it, you know? Who was that colonel? Wasn't he a colonel that was just...
In the meet? Yeah. I forget the details now. But
he came out and said it, and then he backtracked, and I thought, darn it, just say it like it is.
Yeah. Well, and even, you know, I like the Moral Majority founder, Reverend Falwell.
Yeah.
He's so funny. Every time he says something against homosexuals, he does that on a Monday, and by Wednesday morning at a press conference, he apologizes.
I know. You just have to stand.
It's like the routine.
Yeah.
You say something with a backbone, then you have to apologize.
That's right.
Julie Millen, we're out of time. Thank you so much, Julie,
bless
for joining
you guys.
Us.
Bless your audience. You're awesome, Bob.
God
we
bless
love you.
You
in Montana.
Talk to you soon. I'll give you an hour to cut that out. This is Bob Benyert reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.